Welcome to the Memora Health Care Delivery Podcast. Through conversations with industry leaders and innovators, we uncover ways to simplify how patients and care teams navigate complex care delivery.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Jamie Colbert, Chief Medical Officer of Memora Health and host of the Care Delivery Podcast. I'm joined today by Kurt Martin, the Senior Director of Operations for Geriatrics and Senior Services at MedStar Health. Kurt, would you mind introducing yourself to our listeners and sharing with us a brief overview of your role?
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Kurt Martin. I have been in healthcare for about 26 years. The first 21 of those were all spent in the military health system with the U.S. Army. I retired in 2019. After 21 years and found MedStar Health as I went through that transition journey. And I found myself trying to answer one question. How can we do this better for older adults? It felt every time I was coming home on vacation as I was supporting soldiers around the world, every time I came home, it was to help an older adult navigate a healthcare system built by 40-year-olds for 40-year-olds. And it really didn't seem to be meeting the needs of the older adults in my own family. And I wanted to be a part of the solution. I wanted to help figure out how we can do it better. And that's how I found MedStar Health. And it was during that transition period, I had an opportunity to meet with leaders at MedStar Health, from Dr. George Hanawi, my partner, to our senior leaders in the hospitals, TJ Senker and others. And really, they had a vision and they needed some help bringing that vision to reality. So it's been an interesting 5 years that I've been with MedStar now, and it's all been focused on how to build systems that work better for older adults.
That's great. Really excited to hear more. And maybe to start, why the focus on older adults? What is the major problem in this space that your team is working to solve?
I'll go back to my time in the Army, and we had General Patty Horahoe, who always used to talk about that blip of time, that 700 minutes or so a year of time that we as healthcare professionals get with our patients. And it's something like 525,000 minutes in a year. And if we see our patients for 1 hour a month in that year, which I think in primary care, we're lucky to do that. I think we do that more in older adult care than anywhere else, but you really only have a small piece of time with those older adults and with our patients in general. So how do we make the most of the time we have with our patients by getting the right people in the room? And then what are we doing to impact change for all those other minutes that patient isn't with us, knowing that's where the majority of healthcare is happening for that person? And as we look at what MedStar Health is doing, we're really taking a look at that system of care in the older adult, not just the individual themselves, but the caregivers and the support structures, the meals, the home security, the home safety, all those social determinants of health that we talk about. And where do we start? I think we in healthcare tend to be overwhelmed by where to start with some of these problems. And I think this is a great population to start with because they're experiencing all of it, and they're our heaviest users of the health system right now.
Yeah, very well said. Tell me about some of the ways that your team is supporting the needs of these older adults and some of the challenges that you're trying to support in that population.
So I think we have to look at the journey of the older adult in our healthcare system to then talk about our vision for how to help that journey. And if we really think about what an older adult goes through, first off, oftentimes we're healthy. We've turned 65. We're now on Medicare, Medicaid, and we're starting to learn what those benefits are. And then we have our first heart attack, our first stroke, our first take your pick of incident. And now we've started needing to utilize a healthcare system that we aren't trained to use. We haven't typically used for the majority. You think about the majority of your life from 18 to 44, you're only really using the healthcare system in emergencies and your annual primary care visit. Now you're having to navigate specialists. You're having to navigate skilled nursing and home care and all of these other aspects of healthcare that you've never needed before. So as an older adult on that journey, you've now had your presentation at the ER. Maybe you've spent time in the inpatient side. Now we're sending you to the subacute rehab for the first time. You don't know what physical therapy is going to be like. You don't know what your resources you're going to have at home. Maybe your children have moved out. Maybe you're trying to age in place on your own, or maybe you're in an extended family household. Everybody's situation is different. And we as a healthcare system, we tend to see this as boxes, right? I worry about you in the time that you're with me in the hospital. I worry about you if I'm the skilled nursing facility. I'm worried about you until I let you out of my skilled nursing facility, so forth and so on. We are really trying in MedStar to look at it as a system and trying to intercede at all the different transitions of care locations where we tend to see the bounce backs to the hospitals. We tend to see changes in the quality of care as we transition from skilled nursing to home or hospital to skilled nursing. All these places where we have the opportunity to drop the ball and really trying to put a team together that is connected and creates that connective tissue between these different elements of our healthcare system. And that's what we're doing.
Really excited to dig in a little bit more. Tell me about some of the ways that team is outreaching and interacting with these populations. You know, I understand that, you know, many of these touch points are not happening when the patient is in the clinic, but they're happening in ways that are meeting the patient where they are.
So it starts with an interdisciplinary team. And I know we all talk about these things, but for us, that includes social work, clinical pharmacy, because I haven't met a patient yet that goes into the hospital with one set of prescriptions and comes out the exact same. We also include physical therapy because a lot of our challenges in older adults are with mobility. And we focus on that Institute for Healthcare Improvement and the 4Ms model for the age-friendly health system. And what does that mean? It means we're looking at how these older adults are managing themselves. And then we're putting our providers, we've got the ambulatory systems that are your traditional primary care, but with the interdisciplinary team support, that way we can follow you when you go home. We can check on your caregiver. We can coordinate with the Alzheimer's Association for additional resources in our base primary care practice. We're getting into the home. I remember one story of this older adult couple that was aging in place, and they were doing a wonderful job, and they were no longer able, and they couldn't necessarily navigate many of the systems. And our social worker went in and one day found them sitting comfortably in their home, but heating it, keeping the oven on because they couldn't figure out how to pay the electric bill. It wasn't that they couldn't pay the electric bill. They couldn't navigate the system to pay the electric bill. And that was what was preventing them from having heat. Once you get heat into the house, suddenly they're much more comfortable. And it was really just a matter of somebody being able to help them pay their bill on time and set up automatic payment. It's not something I need a doctor doing. It was something that for the health of that patient needed to be done. And that's where the social work and the other team members can come in. Clinical pharmacy is critical. We talk about deprescribing. We talk about opioids in older adults. We talk about all the different beers list, which is that list of medications that impacts older adults differently, because we know that those interactions exist. Now you're visiting multiple ologists and you need that individual that can help you navigate between what your neurologist, your cardiologist, your endocrinologist, all are prescribing different things. And sometimes those things interact and not all of our electronic health records interact with each other. And especially in an area like Maryland, where MedStar Health has a lot of offices, there are a lot of healthcare choices for those older adults. They have plenty of other opportunities. And we want to make sure that when they're choosing us, we know what's happening with their care. And the electronic health records don't always talk to each other. So how do we navigate that? And it takes a human being interceding and making sure that we're having the right conversations and we're following them, home, hospital, skilled nursing. And we've got physicians and nurse practitioners in the home, in the hospital, in the ambulatory setting, in the skilled nursing setting, and we're following and communicating with each other as a team taking care of those older adults that are enrolled in our complex care clinic.
So I know you mentioned a lot of different roles, including social workers and nurses and physicians and others. Can you maybe just walk through what is the composition of this team? Who are the different roles who are involved?
Well, look at it in four different domains of care. We have our standard ambulatory clinic, which is the interdisciplinary team. We have an RN registered nurse doing the triage and middle acute follow-up. So we make sure if a patient has gone to the hospital, we know what's happening. We also have social work, clinical pharmacy, physical therapy, all as part of our interdisciplinary clinic in the ambulatory setting. And then if the patient goes to the hospital setting, we are working with our hospital leaders, again, in that age-friendly health system mindset to look at and make sure that we have a geriatrician and or a geriatric nurse practitioner that has eyes on our patients when they're in the hospital setting. Transition to the skilled nursing, we've got medical directorships and we're overseeing the quality of care in some of the skilled nursing facilities, the larger ones around our hospitals, as well as partnering with groups like Future Care, Communicare, and others that run these buildings to make sure that our patients, when they're there, are getting the right care. And in some cases, it's our physicians and nurse practitioners that are providing that care directly. So that's the third domain. That fourth domain is home-based primary care. When that older adult is no longer capable of coming to us, or they are a caregiver for an individual with a mobility challenge, and they meet all of the Medicare criteria for home-based care, we will bring the physician and nurse practitioner out to them. We have social work and a registered nurse on that team to help manage their care 24/7. To take the phone calls when we need to take the phone calls, to triage patients, and to really just make sure they're getting the services they need at home for those that can't come to us. Because again, this is about meeting the older adult where they are in the system, but these older adults are well in the system and we got to be where they are.
Bert, I know there's a lot going on across the country in trying to bring care to patients where they are. And part of that involves caring for patients at home. Tell us about some of the ways in which your team is providing care in the home.
Our care is pretty straightforward in that it's home-based primary care. I think what makes it unique is we are actively seeking out these alternative payment models that are offered by the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Innovation and CMS in general, just to again, make sure that we're able to provide the level of care that these older adults deserve in the setting where they need it. And I think that's been one of the challenges historically in home-based primary care is the payment models just don't keep up with the need. We were some of the initial members of the Independence at Home trial that was a CMMI project demonstration that lasted over 10 years. From 2008 to 2018, and it's wrapping up now. We transitioned into primary care first, which was another alternative payment model where we saw that Independence at Home was starting to sunset. And we said, okay, we still need another payment model that is better than fee for service, even though maybe not as good as Independence at Home. And now from PCF, we have primary care first. We have now transitioned into one of these new accountable care organization models because they provide these additional per member per month payments and shared savings so that if we can prove that and through the data that our patients are staying out of the hospital and their total cost of care is less, we get a part of that shared savings from Medicare and Medicaid at the end of the day. And honestly, I've got the data and we've looked at the data and we can truly say that we are definitely making a difference and making an impact in the older adult lives that we can touch. And we are saving Medicare and Medicaid. And yeah, this is the opportunity to benefit from that while we provide all of these wraparound services that otherwise they may not have access to.
That's great. I was going to get to that question around ROI because I've seen a number of studies show that in many cases, providing additional services for primary care, particularly for patients who have complex needs, it makes sense and it feels like the right thing to do, but it doesn't always result in cost savings. So I'm curious in your case, how have you set the success metrics such that you're able to track towards the proving out of an ROI here?
And I think that's the challenge of all the value-based models, right? Because so much of the value, the financial ROI is on the back end. It's prove a negative, prove that patient wouldn't have used the system as much or that your intervention kept them from the hospital event. And I think that's what will always be a challenge in these value-based systems. And I think as we live in Maryland and we function in Maryland, where the total cost of care is a measure of success that we use, as it has been for independence in home and some of these other models, we have to be able to show that we are reducing the total cost of care. And I can point to 50% fewer inpatient visits for our patients when we look at the level of complexity based on all the different diagnosis codes and compare that against a similar Medicare population. We know our patients use the hospital 50% less. They use the ER 45% less. They get readmitted 50% less because we have the time and the ability to follow up with them. So we know our patients use the hospital less and that reduces. And we know that's where the majority of healthcare spending is. It's in the hospital. It's in the subacute rehabilitation. So if we can keep the patients happy, healthy, and at home where they want to be, we want them to be, everybody benefit. And then it's just a matter of proving that cost savings on the back end.
Yeah. In terms of the spending that you need to do to hire the personnel and deliver these services, are there other expenditures that go beyond just hiring FTEs to do this work? Is there technology? Are there other things that you need to account for to set up a model like this?
There aren't necessarily other technologies. We do have laptop computers where our providers have the wireless capability so they can be in the home and documenting all their care at the same time. We would love to get to the point of remote patient monitoring. I think that would be an ideal state. We are not there yet, but the idea of just being able to monitor glucose levels and monitor heart rates for those that are dealing with CHF or any other chronic ailment that we try to manage, I think that would be an ideal state. We have not gotten there yet, but I think there are potentially additional resources for that somewhere down the road, especially as the rewards for these models start catching up with the timeliness of payment.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Are there any specific numbers you can share with me in terms of some of the results that you've seen? Have you published or otherwise shared more broadly some of the early successes of this program?
We have not published. That would have been great. But actually, early, as we got to the 8-year mark in the Independence at Home program, we did do a look back on our work, and we could definitely demonstrate a 20% total cost of care savings for our home-based primary care team, specifically in the work that they were doing, keeping the patient happy and healthy and at home. We have not been able to do that same kind of deep dive. We're just starting to see the impact studies where we're looking at how much fewer utilizations, how many fewer utilizations we've had of the inpatient in the emergency department for patients that are utilizing our services for their complex care versus similar patients that don't. But again, that's where I can say 50% less ER utilization, 50% less inpatient utilization. And that adds up to cost savings. I haven't quantified all that cost savings yet, but I'm looking forward to being able to publish that one of these days.
Yeah, those are impressive results to see 50% reductions in utilization. So kudos to you and the team. What is the magnitude of the intervention in terms of the number of patients reached? Can you describe to us the scale at which you're delivering these services or how many patients have been through this program?
I think that's also one of the wonderful things about this program is you're managing these older adults based on their need. I think if we look at primary care as a continuum from well elder to then needing that, so that well elder that's playing pickleball 3 days a week and walking 3 miles a day, they can stay with their internal medicine. They're doing great. Keep doing great. The services that we're offering in our ambulatory centers and then in our home-based primary care, it keeps escalating. So as you start to maybe have that first elopement or first diagnosis of Alzheimer's or some sort of dementia. Maybe you had your first fall, your first heart attack, your first take your pick. Now you're eligible for our more comprehensive care management. And we've taken care of, last year, we took care of over 3,000 lives amongst the different programs. On average, they'll stay with our home-based primary care team about 8 months. But again, that's before they make a transition to palliative and hospice type care. You don't get to be homebound for a reason. Yeah, we manage a lot of these complex older adults across meeting their needs where they're at.
Excellent. And with that, we're going to close things out. I thank you, Kurt, for sharing your insights with me and our listeners today and the magnitude of the impact you're having on the lives of these older adults with complex medical conditions really is remarkable. So thanks again for joining us, Kurt. And until next time, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Memora Health Care Delivery Podcast. For more ideas on simplifying complex care for care teams and patients, visit memorahealth.com.